Pastors, have you ever felt you had your denominational theology down pat, but were still overwhelmed with the day-to-day operations of your church? If so, then this program, The Pastors Institute, with Pastor Brian Delbridge, is for you. In the next half an hour, Pastor Delbridge will give you the tools to develop skills for the practical side of pastoring, like administration, conflict resolution, decision-making, problem-solving, and managing your corporate and personal finances. He'll also feature guest experts on various topics. This is a safe place to learn and share anonymously. You can submit your questions to him at lafministries.net. So sit back, relax, and together, let's look at the tools that will help you succeed in the day-to-day operations of your church. Welcome to the Pastors Institute with host, Pastor Brian Delbridge.
Welcome to the Pastors Institute. It's great to have you tune in with us today. I think you're going to enjoy this session as we look at leadership that really transforms. Now, by virtue of the position of pastor, you will lead. So the question is not whether you will lead, it will be how will you lead? Now, you can lead as a shepherd, guiding, directing, sometimes prodding the sheep, and walking ahead so that they can follow. Or as pastor, you can lead by abdicating leadership to others. Many do this because they don't have a clear direction, a direction that's been established by their philosophy of ministry or their core values. Now, this style will lead to anarchy in the church. Too many leaders, all of them pulling in their preferred direction, brings anarchy. Or they could have a hybrid leadership with the pastor leading some and others leading others. And that's a recipe for chaos, too. There needs to be one leader. Not being the leader is a sure way for a pastor to lose credibility and to lose support. Pretty soon, you have a pastor whose ministry is in trouble. Well, here's some lighthearted things that would indicate that your ministry might be in trouble. You're probably in trouble if you get a U-Haul certificate for a Christmas bonus. You're probably in trouble if you begin to add 10% to the worship count for those in the restroom in the foyer. Or when you say, and in conclusion, the whole congregation applauds. You're in trouble if you would rather negotiate with a terrorist than with the church board. You're probably in trouble when a quartet special or congregational singing are the same. Or when daycare and lawsuit are synonymous. And finally, you're probably in trouble when resisting the devil and the church board meetings are synonymous. Well, we've had some fun, but the lack of leadership really has ruined many ministries. So let's realistically look at some pastoral characteristics that really do profile that you're in trouble. Number one, you fight change. Change is part of the human process. It's part of any church process. And to fight it creates problems. You're probably in trouble if you're just defensive almost all the time. Many times people will say things to you because they want to help you, not because they want to get you. Becoming defensive leads to trouble. Also, you're probably heading towards trouble if you're inflexible. Now, we need to be flexible in everything except our philosophy of ministry and our core values. Example, one of the churches, we were going to build an outdoor concert arena. And I backed off because one of the leaders who was influential decided he didn't want it done. And so we backed off. It was not a core value. It was not part of the philosophy of ministry. It was part of outreach. And we waited a year and got it done with little opposition after waiting that year. Being flexible. You're probably going to be in trouble if you lack a team spirit. You've got to have a team. The job is just way, way too big for one person. So we need to build teams to work with. You're probably heading for trouble if you have personal problems, because those affect the quality of your ministry. Do you have problems in your marriage or problem with your children or your finances or your health? All of that can create a problem. It helps to be open with leadership so that they can help you. A good leadership team will do all that it can to help in these areas to preserve the ministry, because your ministry really is the ministry of the church. You're probably in trouble if you're lazy. Having a pastor who works 20 hours a week, telling the layman who works 50 to 60 hours a week to donate so many more hours to the church just doesn't work. It can be irritating to have a pastor who's lazy. Church morale suffers, and the work of the kingdom suffers. You probably had it for trouble if you won't take risk. People want leaders who will take risk, risks that bring progress. And you're probably in trouble if you don't use your imagination. You won't be creative. You won't dream big things. And let me tell you something. That's not transforming. It's boring. You're probably in trouble if you're disorganized. No follow-through. People then get discouraged. Ministries just spin their wheels with everybody doing whatever they want or doing nothing and all waiting for direction. You also probably are in trouble if you lack emotional control. If you have temper tantrums, if you don't get your way, if you say harsh things to people, immature actions, not speaking to somebody you're upset with. I remember a pastor once when I was a layman who, after I'd had about a three-hour meeting with him about some issues, he wouldn't acknowledge that my wife or I even existed. He would come to a pew where we were and speak to the people on the other side of us and ignore us. That's immaturity, and it causes a problem for that pastor's ministry. You're probably also headed for trouble if you just pass the buck, where nothing is ever your fault. You just blame everybody else for it. You delegate everything. You won't take ownership for anything. That's not leadership. And you're probably in trouble if you have a poor understanding of people. If you don't understand the pressures of the laity, or if you do understand but you ignore it. Sometimes we're clueless because we have not worked a long time in the secular world, so we don't know what the layman goes through and the stress that they're under. And some pastors are just too goal-driven. They don't care about the layman's pressures. Just get the job done that I want done. Well, that's leading you to trouble. Like it or not, the pastor is the one responsible for leading the church. So, let's look at leadership that really is transforming. First thing we want to ask ourselves, what is leadership? Well, quite simply, it's this. It is influencing others to act to achieve mutually accepted goals. In other words, it's not dictating, it's not forcing, it's influencing them to work alongside of you and you with them to get the mutual agreed goals that you have. Now, that's leadership. Great leadership is creating situations where people can be successful. You see, real leaders have vision. They know where they're going and where they're going and what they want the church to be. They have a vision for that. They also have passion. You see, a pastor has to be driven by his philosophy of ministry and his core values. And if you didn't happen to hear those broadcasts, you can go back to the archives and get those. We have a program on each of those. We have to have passion about our core values and about our philosophy of ministry. And then we have passion about a specific goal. Leaders also have to have God's calling. This is not a guilt decision. It's not an emotional decision. It is a call to ministry, and it's from God. And it is confirmed by God. I remember when I left education after 25 years to go into the ministry and had to go back and do the coursework and all of that. I was concerned because I didn't want this to be some midlife crisis. I was in my 40s and I was in education and enjoyed it. And I needed confirmation from God. And it was quite interesting how God went about doing that. He did a lot of things in the physical that should have convinced me, but they didn't necessarily convince me. I needed a little more. And there were three things that I was praying about. And God answered all three in sequence. And a peace came that is a peace that passes understanding. And I went into the ministry with a call from God and a peace that I was doing the right thing. Leaders are also humble. You see, God really builds the church. We don't. We're just tools that he chooses to use. And let me tell you something. That's a privilege. We're honored to work in cooperation with him because we realize it's not us, but it's all about him. God can do it without us, so we don't need to be proud, but we should be very grateful that God has chosen us for this role. And finally, leaders are obedient. We make tough decisions because those tough decisions are God-directed. And as we do that, people see our obedience and the results of that obedience, and they're drawn to obedience too. Over the years, I've consistently told the congregations that God has given me to pastor that blessings are positional, and the position is obedience. But we don't run around trying to get under blessings that are raining down from heaven. We just stand in obedience, and that's where they are. Great leaders also have to be matched to the church. One can be successful in one church setting and a dismal failure in another. And the question is why? I thought they did well. Why aren't they doing well here? Well, pastors need to be matched to the church. We need to ask ourselves if we're thinking about a change. Do my gifts and my graces match the needs and the culture of this church? If they don't, you're probably going to have a rough time. If a church needs healing, a pastor driven to growth and expansion is probably not a good fit. They need a healer, a lover of people, a person with wisdom and a calm spirit to lead them out of the hurts. Maybe a few years later, the growth pastor will fit. Just make sure that your gifts and your graces fit the needs of the congregation that's calling you. Now, there are also styles of leadership, and I'd like to quickly go through those with you. The one is dictatorial. This style works best with people who want strong direction. They do their job without taking risk. There's usually in this style of leadership little creativity. Everything is directed and everything comes from the leader. In my opinion, that's not the preferable style. But sometimes it is necessary to get a church going and to solidify leadership teams. The second style of leadership is organizational. This style is structure-driven. Policy is paramount. There are clear lines of authority and clear lines of responsibility. There is little or no deviation, and there's minimal risk-taking. Change comes, but it is slow. And then there's the collaborative style of leadership. This style makes use of a lot of teams, and really the style is team-driven. Brainstorming is much more evident. There is creativity, and there is risk-taking. Change is much easier to accomplish. Now, that sounds really great and good, but there's a downside. The downside is if you have a leader who does not oversee teams and coordinate their activities, then things become chaotic. You see, teams must be led, or they'll run in 100 different directions. Teams must have definitive responsibilities and parameters set. When that happens, the collaborative style can be very, very effective. And then there's the relational style. This style is personality-driven. Everybody needs to be happy. The leader is often a people-pleaser. It is very inclusive. It allows for creativity and brainstorming. But the downside is if the leader is not strong, this style runs the risk of falling apart because of disagreement. The affective, the emotional side is very important, and disagreement can easily divide the team if the leader is not perceptive and a strong leader. And then the last style is laissez-faire. Most styles can be beneficial and productive, but this one is problematic. It's sort of a hands-off approach. Come see, come saw. Usually this style will cause chaos and inefficiency. It can work if the leader has great small group leaders and allows them to complete specific goals in their way. Well, those are different styles of leadership. All can work depending on the needs of the church and the teams that are built. So there are styles of leadership, but there are also organizational models of leadership. You see, pastoral leadership operates within the boundaries of an organizational model. And there are several different models, but let's just take a look at the top two. The first one would be the top-down model of organization. Now, this model really is based on a lack of trust. The feeling is people must be watched very closely. They must be told what to do. The person at the top, which is usually the pastor, has the knowledge. Now, this does not mean they're the smartest or they have all the technical knowledge, but they do keep the organizational knowledge to themselves. What's going on within the organization? And they disperse it only as they see fit. They know what direction the church is going to take in the future, but they're not sharing it. They have the knowledge where others are kept in the dark and really are kept dependent on them in order to get necessary information. In this model, the position, or the pastor, has the power. The leader of the pastor acts as a gatekeeper. They release information as they deem necessary. Decisions are made at a very high level, and then they're passed down when appropriate or necessary. It is a stimulus response organizational model. People are prodded with information or an assignment, and then they do it. In this model, the leader coerces, he moralizes, he judges, sometimes he intimidates to get done what he wants done. There's not a sense of team. It is strictly employer-employee organization. Finally, the result of this model of organization is dependency. I mean, what else can it be if you're waiting for information and authority over and over and over again to do something? So you become dependent upon the leader or the pastor. It also results in irresponsibility. If you're below the pastor, you can always blame someone else. You didn't get the right information. You didn't get enough support. Since you're not on a team, you're just working independently, you can just blame anybody you want. It also results in resistance. In this model, there's low morale, and consequently, when the opportunity arises, there is resistance. There's anger over the way that you've been treated, and it just rises up. Finally, the result of this model is lack of trust. Since you're on your own, evaluated on your own, you lack trust. Since there's no team, it all rests on you. And since everybody is trying to get ahead, there's a lack of trust that someone might be undercutting you. It really is a poor model of organization, and yet many churches use this model because it's a way to control the flock. The second organizational model that we'll look at is collaborative. This is a much more effective model, but it does require patience. It requires organization. It requires accountability. This model has the leader or the pastor casting vision, and that vision driving the people. So it's not the pastor driving, it's the vision that's driving. And as I've mentioned to you before, that vision at every church I've been in has been love, acceptance, and forgiveness, demonstrating that through our lifestyle. That then can drive the people. This model of collaboration shares knowledge, and it uses that knowledge to get what we want as a church. This model develops key core values, and that holds the church on course. In fact, those values dictate every aspect of corporate life. Those core values dictate how worship will look, how you'll staff. It would dictate how you handle your finances, where you spend your money. It will also dictate church discipline. Will it be done with grace, or will it be punitive? This model aligns values with knowledge, beliefs, wants, and actions. You see, that's really a model for success. When what we believe fits what we want, fits what we know, and we act accordingly, we're going to be successful. Those are the four components. Man, this is exciting stuff. If what we want is what we believe and what we know to be true, and we act accordingly, we will be successful. When our actions are consistent with our beliefs, and our beliefs and wants are consistent with our knowledge, we have success. If we act on beliefs that are inconsistent with the Word, which is our knowledge, then we fail. This model allows everyone to strive to make the church a needs-satisfying place. You see, the church needs to be a safe place. I've used many times that the church has to decide, do you want to be a country club or do you want to be a hospital? If you're a country club, everyone will line up, everyone will say the right things, dress properly, do the right things, go to the right places. It will be a country club that they can join. But if you're a hospital, it's going to get messy. And people are going to come in wounded, bleeding, hurting, needing someone to give a healing touch. A church has to decide what it wants to be. This model gives church the opportunity to be a healing, to be a place of healing, not just a place of diagnosis. This model honors the things that hold the church together. It honors vision. It honors core values. It honors beliefs. It honors knowledge. It honors ethics. And it honors outcomes. Well, that's leadership. Next week, we're going to be dealing with the process of change, which is much more difficult. Let me leave you with a few things. Some words from the great, great philosopher, Will Rogers. Letting the cat out of the bag is a whole lot easier than putting it back in. Number two, if you find yourself in a hole, the first thing to do is stop digging. Never miss a good chance to shut up. And if you're riding ahead of the herd, take a look back every now and then and make sure that it's still there. Or like I would say, if people aren't following you, you're just taking a walk. Well, let me leave you with some keys to successful leadership. The first is this: pray, pray, pray. This is not about you. This is not about your gifts and your talents. It's about God using those things, so pray. Secondly, really successful leaders listen. They listen to what other staff members have to say. They listen to what the laity has to say. They also involve others. This is not a one-man show, regardless how small or how large your church is. You have to involve staff. You have to involve laity in ministry because God has also gifted them. You need to focus on the vision and focus your people on the vision. And then you need to organize around the vision. Plan all the events and activities around the vision. And then demand and model excellence, that you're going to do it and you're going to do it right. Model the behavior that you want to see in your staff and people. Be a servant, not a CEO. And celebrate success. Well, that's it today for leadership. If you have questions, be sure to send those to us on www.laafministries.net. Give us a chance to get back to you. Also, if you'd like to support this program financially, you may do that online at www.laafministries.net. We would like to hear from you. We certainly will respond back to you if you have questions about this broadcast or any others, or just things in your ministry that you want to talk about. We're here to help. This is the Pastors Institute.
You've been listening to the Pastors Institute with Pastor Brian Delbridge. If you'd like to get in touch with Brian, contact him directly through laafministries.net. Tune in next Saturday at 7:30 a.m. for the Pastors Institute. Until then, make it a great week.